There we go. I think I'm live now. Good morning, TKK. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. You know, we get in a habit of going to church. And how about being the church? What kind of habit is that? As we come to our prayer time this morning, I want to read a couple of verses just ahead of what Amber read to you a little bit ago. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 28 and 29, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us go to him in prayer. Oh, Father God, as we come before you this morning in this assembly, we come to humble our hearts. We come to fall on our faces before you, to praise and to worship. We come to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, as we come, we know that there are some who can't be with us this morning because they're traveling. And we ask for travel mercies for them. We ask, Father, that their journeys would be safe, that they would come back refreshed and renewed. Father, we know there are some who are not with us this morning because of illness. You know each one of these situations, each one heart. Father, I just pray that you would move in them and stir them in ways. Help us, Father, to be alert to what we can do to bring you to them and to the encouragement and the hope that we might have. Father, we also come to you this morning knowing that there are some who don't care. They just don't care enough to come. Some who might come and don't care enough just because they come to see what they can agitate and trouble. And Father, we just lay up a hand of peace upon their hearts. I ask, Father, that you would move in them in ways that they would know your presence. Those hardened hearts would break down. There would be a joy and a new hope. In this we pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As the Dragers come to light our candle, the first candle of Advent, we as God's people need to stop and focus upon the hope of this season. We need to stop and focus on the hope that we celebrate in this time. As we light this candle, I want to read to you from Isaiah, the 60th chapter, beginning in the first verse. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and the deep darkness for the people. But the Lord will rise up above you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings of brightness will come and be raised up." Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. O Lord God, as we light this first Advent candle, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We who have sat in the darkness have seen the great light, the light of Jesus our Christ, our author of our salvation. We give you thanks and praise because he lives and reigns with you in your glory. And in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray that this would be a time of hope, of celebration, of lifting Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. You know, we've gathered this morning here in God's house. We've gathered to worship Christ. If we didn't come to worship Christ, what did we come for? You know, many people today have come together in worship places just like this. And they come because, well, that's the thing we do on Sunday morning. And you know what? That shouldn't be just the thing we do on Sunday morning, should it? Now, last week, if you were with us. You know, Brother Tim talked about the adversities that Satan will throw against us. And there are a lot of them. Satan does not hesitate to try to tear the church down. He'll take every chance he can get. Years ago, we pastored a church that was halfway, I mean literally within a half a mile of being halfway between the University of Michigan and Michigan State University. And you can imagine what kind of turmoil that caused, especially the weeks around when they played each other. I thought there was nothing like that till I got to South Carolina and found out that, you know, there are some people that really hate Clemson. And then there are some that really dislike South Carolina. And so the question then becomes, how do we get along? Our hope is not in Clemson, is it? That one fell on its face. I thought somebody would say, amen, because they were wearing a Gamecock shirt. But, our hope's not in the Gamecocks, is it? Come on. I'm used to having people talk back to me, okay? So don't be bashful. And I love it when young people sit in the front, because you're front and center. Not quite center, but you're front. And I'm not averse to walking over there and talking to you, okay? But I have to talk nice about Clemson, because look at all those orange shirts over there. And then right in the middle is something else. A Gamecock shirt. Could I throw a kink in it and say, go LSU or something like that? I get booed from both sides of the auditorium, right? Well, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me this morning to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in that last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to be the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father God, as we speak these words, I pray that our hearts would be focused upon you. I pray that our hearts would come to a closeness with you in this time. Father, make these lips speak your words. Make our hearts and our ears take that word and go forth excited and ignited to serve Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Let me get to where I'm supposed to be. At the very beginning of this letter, the Apostle Peter burst forth in excitement and praise. He gives a couple of verses of greetings, and then he goes into this passage that we just read from here. He is doing what that early Christians always did. He's opening up praising God. Starting out in praise. Starting out with the ideology that God is so good, I need to praise him for what he's done before I ask for any more. And you know, it's fascinating to me how people, and I, you know, we see this all the time, people get up and they, you know, dear God, thank you. Oh, God, now, God, I need this, I need that, and I need something else. And God says, wait a minute. Think about what I've already done for you. Think about those things I've already done for you. Take the Apostle Paul, for example. In the first chapter of his epistle to the Ephesians, he writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wait a minute. He has blessed us in what? All places. Not just in a little area. Not just in this area where we say, this little box is nice and God takes care of us. But God says, get outside that box. Get outside that box and realize how blessed you are. How blessed we are. You know, by the grace of God, we were born in the United States of America, where we have the freedom to gather and worship. We could have been born in China, where they are tearing down churches. They are jailing Christians to re-educate them in what's real and not that fantasy about some guy named Jesus. We have been so blessed. Now, I don't suppose any of you came here this morning, you walked 10 miles in the rain, did you? No, we've got cars, we've got vehicles to get places. I don't suppose that we need to pitch a tent in the backyard for you to have a place to sleep tonight either, do we? Okay. And so we've been blessed with a place to live. We've been blessed with richly with brothers and sisters in Christ that we can come and share with. We've been blessed with opportunities to share that love, to share Christ, to share that joy and that hope that we have in Christ. And yet, what we hear sometimes. A few days ago, the sun was shining. It was about almost 70 degrees out. Though just a ever so slight a breeze just made it really nice and comfortable. And I said good morning to this lady as I was walking into a store. And she looked at me and she says, what's good about it? I gave her my upright breathing routine. You're upright breathing on this side of the grass. Praise God for that. I don't know if that's good or not. And she turned around and walked away. I thought, lady, I don't know what I can say to you that would brighten your day. I tried to pour her some hope in. And as I'm walking in further into the store, there's this little boy comes up to me and he says, mister, you're nice. I don't know, Sonny, but I don't have any extra money to give you, but thank you anyway. And he looked at me and he says, I saw you say nice things to that lady, and she's not very nice. I said, you know her? Yeah, it's my grandma. Whoa. You know, because there you go. Because we have the assurance that God loves us, because we have that assurance that we have hope, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I think, wow, it doesn't make any difference what I'm confronted by. That God who is in me is bigger than anything else out there. That God who is in me is so big that he made this whole place. And he controls it. And as much chaos is going on in our country, in our world today, God is still in control, isn't he? God still rules and reigns. I don't care who's sitting in the White House. Jesus is still on the throne. And because he's on the throne and we are in Christ, we have a hope that the world just can't comprehend. They don't understand. Years ago, I heard an old preacher say, when you know how big your God is, that Goliath you're facing doesn't look very big at all, does he? And I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. So let's look at that. Let's look at that passage there in 1 Peter for a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Notice where the hope comes from. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Where does the hope come from? Come on, talk to me. From Christ, right? The Father, God. So, as Christians, we're living in Christ. Why aren't we all optimistic and have hope? God has given us that hope in His Son, who according to His great mercies, it says. That verse is according to His great mercies. How merciful is our God? Wow. Count your blessings. Count them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Start counting. There isn't anybody in this room who's going to live long enough to finish that count. Count your blessings. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I love that part of that verse because no matter what is going on around me, no matter what is happening in the world around me, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You look at the world. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? Where's your hope? You look at a Christian. Where's your hope? My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in God. Because God's overcome it all. Jesus said, I have overcome it. It's a dead issue. We win. But you know, as Christians, how many times we stop and look and say, oh, woe is me, poor pitiful me. I don't have any hope. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. You know, as my wife was preparing for Lottie Moon and I was listening to overhearing her, some of the things she was talking about, and I snuck her book out and read a little bit about it, I was amazed at this lady and the sacrifices she made because of the hope that she had. The hope to reach people. And I think about people that I've known through the years and the hope that they've had. The hope to share the gospel. And I asked you this morning, what kind of hope does TK Baptist Church have to share the gospel? What kind of hope do we have to share the gospel with our community? You know, interesting, Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It all starts in Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem? TGK. TGK. Do you know that this morning, now this, I read this statistic and it was from 2018, so average, but this morning that less than 40% of the people in TGK will be in worship service. Do we have a mission field? Do we have a hope that mission field needs? The very idea that God has, through His mercy, has given us this hope to go out and share it. To share through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Note the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where our hope lies. Have you ever walked through a cemetery and saw the gravestones and thought, I just wonder if that person was a Christian? I just wonder what their relationship was with the Lord. I just wonder did that one time several years ago. And I stopped. I just wonder. And then this voice came upon me and said, don't wonder about them. Wonder about yourself. What are you doing? What are you doing? The hope that there is something better coming. TKK Baptist Church, if we do not have hope that there's something better coming, let's sell the property and disband. Let's forget it. Because we have no reason to be here. But we do have a reason to be here. We have a reason to be here because we have a hope that the world needs. And over 60% of the people in TKK are not hearing it this morning. So how do we share that? How do we share that hope? Oh, you know, I hear all these sermons about going here and going there. I hear all these sermons about, you know, I need to be a missionary. And I think, oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I say? Who can I talk to? Well, there's an old story, and most of you probably have heard it before. But there was a fella, a Sunday school teacher, that went to buy a pair of shoes. And he was talking with the guy, the shoe salesman. And he invited that shoe salesman to come to church with him. He said, come Sunday morning, I'll come pick you up and I'll bring you to church. That young shoe salesman said, okay, I'll go with you. He went. Later on in his life, he would say, I met a hope in that church service that I had never known before. I never knew that before. That young man gave his life to Christ, and D.L. Moody shook the continents for Jesus Christ. Why? Because some guy buying a pair of shoes decided to share his hope. It doesn't take a big thing. Just a hey. Yeah. What you doing Sunday morning? How about coming to church with me? Or hey, you know, we're having a carry-in dinner Sunday. Why don't you come eat with us? You know, we Baptists love to eat. I've been told the only things you need to be a Baptist is you got to believe in Jesus Christ and you got to have a 9x13 casserole dish. And I tell you what, hanging out at TKK, I believe that casserole dish thing for sure. You people love to eat. But you know what? The hope doesn't lie in the beans and the ham. The hope lies in Jesus Christ. The hope lies in Him. You know, Scripture tells us that Adam was lonely and God gave him a helpmate for hope, somebody to share. Genesis 6:7, we see mankind had been corrupt. And God says, it grieves me so much that I think I'll just blot man out and start over. But then God remembered that back in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, that He had said, because you have done this, cursed are you to move than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And you shall he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God had laid down that hope and promised that hope for mankind. And He said, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Moving on to verse 4. To obtain the inheritance, which is the imperishable and the undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, Stock market's a funny thing, isn't it? We're all dancing in joy because the stock market's going out of sight. But you know, it doesn't always do that. In 1987, on a Monday, the stock market dropped about 16% in one day. Somebody stuck a microphone in a guy named Sam Walton's face and said, "Sam, do you know that you just lost about $75 million? Sam Walton said, "Didn't know I had that much. But I still have Jesus regardless." And he turned around and walked away. The hope of, it doesn't matter the material things we've got. It doesn't matter how fancy a car we drive. Now, if any of y'all want to buy me a Maserati, I'd love to have one. If you want to buy me a house on the lake, I'd love to have one. And I'd give up the Maserati for the house on the lake, by the way. But I'm richer than anybody that's got both of those. In fact, you know Bill Gates' house outside of Seattle? It looks like an outhouse at the end of a dirt road compared to what I've got in Jesus Christ. We've got riches beyond comprehension of the earth. We have got a hope in Christ that goes beyond anything the world would ever know. We can say, as Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." I'm living in Christ, I'm living the good life. But to die, I get to go live with Him for all eternity. I love that song, "I Can Only Imagine," because as I hear the words to that song, I think about, what are we going to do when we stand on that day of judgment and mercy? I'm not sure any of us are going to be able to stand, because we're going to be there in front of God Almighty. That's our hope. That's our dream. That's our wish as Christians. Now, I'm not in any big hurry to get there. But when we get ready to go, it's okay, because it's gain to what we've got here. You know, it's fascinating how we so many times read history and we see what the world has and we see what Christians have had. You know, if you read the history of the apostles and how they died, you know, most human beings wouldn't want to be an apostle. It was not a pleasant way to end life, but they never backed off. They never quit, because they had a hope. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. "Reserved in heaven for you." No, wait a minute. This hope is reserved in heaven for you, folks. It can't be touched. It's there. That hope is there. "Reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through the faith of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Who is the hope in? In Christ. Where is Christ? In heaven. And because Christ is in heaven, that nothing on this earth can touch that hope, or because it can't touch Him. Whatever else we may believe in is not relevant. But to believe in Jesus Christ has all relevancy. That's what's important. That's what it's all about. To be secure in that. To have that hope. To be ready to be revealed in that last time. To realize that, hey, this isn't something that's just a spot on. This is forever. This is for all time. This is for real. And a hope. God says, put your hope in me and I'll take care of you. Put your faith in me and I'll take care of you. Put your trust in me and I'll take care of you. So why do we fight it? Why do we fight it? Well, you know, us American guys, we got an ego the size of all Boston. We want to do it. We want to accomplish. We want to be. We want to be successful. And God says, I can make you a success beyond anything you can comprehend. If you'll just trust, just put your hope in me. Trust me. Trust me. Because we, in Christ, are more than conquerors. We have that guarantee. Moving on to verse 7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus the Christ. Notice Peter writes here the proof of the faith. The proof of the faith lies in what we do with that hope. The proof of the faith lies in what we do when we face trials and tribulations and troubles. Where do we go when the world seems to be caving in on us? Where do we go when we have so many trials and troubles? Notice Peter writes here, the proof of the faith lies in where your hope lies, in Christ. Making that hope very valuable, even more valuable than gold. You know, isn't it fascinating? We have riches beyond anything that the world can think of. And yet, we talk about how poor we are. Well, you know, Lottie Moon left a plantation right next door to, was it Jefferson? Thomas Jefferson's plantation in Virginia, to go to China. She had the wealth and she had the riches. But she said, there's people over there who need hope. People over there who need hope. Peter wraps up this passage in verse 9. In verse 8 and 9. He says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy unexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Peter tells Christians for all times, even today, Jesus the Christ, whom you've never seen in the physical sense, is being made known to people all around the world. People are finding a hope in Christ. There are places like Pakistan and India and Guyana that, and many other places that are receiving Jesus Christ. I have a college friend of mine who is a missionary in India. And they had what started out to be a 7-day revival. They are in their 17th week. And he said, you know, he said, I kind of wondered. We only baptized 10,000 people in the first month. Then the second month, it was up to 12,000 people. And he said, you know where we're at? We're in Punjab province in India, which is half Muslim and half Hindu. And he said, it's amazing. Those Muslim and those Hindus don't get along until they get there and Jesus gives them the hope. And then all of a sudden, they're the best of buddies. They love Jesus. They found a hope, a mutual hope. Oh, church, that we could find that fire. Oh, church. But you know where Christianity is growing the greatest in the world? This just amazed me when I read this. Nepal, China, and the United Arab Emirates. Those are the top three places that Christianity is growing. Why? Because they have no hope until they have that hope in Christ. They're afflicted. They're worried. What is this? What is this worth? A few years here on earth and what? But that hope in Christ that lasts forever, that's protected in heaven. It's fascinating. We here in the United States, we sit on our padded chairs. We praise God. Once in a while, we get so wild we even lift our hands. We clap. We celebrate. But yet, when we stop and think about what we've got, not in this world, but in the next, where do we go with that? What do we do with that? So here we have the first message of Advent. We have that first Sunday of Advent when we talk about hope. When we talk about the hope that we have in Christ. But this is only the first Sunday. There's more to come. And we celebrate Advent because of the greatest gift that's ever been given. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, came to live with amongst us, to share with us. There is a living hope in the babe of Bethlehem. A hope that is as absolutely safe and secure. For God's word has promised, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Think about that. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, there's people all over this world that would like to have that hope that we have. Let's use Advent as a springboard. Let's use Advent as a time when one of my old catchphrases, we get excited and ignited to serve Jesus Christ, to go forth. Let's take this time, this gathering, and go forth to share that good news of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be a time when we would come. If we come to this point, Father, and we don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, let's pray this would be the time. This would be the hour. If we come this moment, and Father, we know Jesus Christ, but we say, you know, my hope's been a little shaky. I pray this would be a time of renewal of hope and faith. Father, as we gather, I pray that this would be a time of decision to go forth and share the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Before we sing, I want to tell you a story of hope. There was an area, Tina and I moved here from Flint, Michigan. There was an area in Flint that gives Flint the bad name. It's called the Meadows. The Meadows, on every block, there was a house. You go to the front door and you could get a prostitute. You go to the side door and you could get drugs. It was hopeless. Churches went in there, time and again went in there, and could make no inroads. But there was a young man who had grown up in that neighborhood, Stephen Foster. Stephen Foster started a Bible study in his garage, right across the street from one of those drug houses. Stephen said, my hope is to reach the neighborhood I grew up in. That's my prayer. 8 months later, winter was coming and it was cold in the garage. And he had outgrown the garage. So they rented a storefront in a strip mall just down the street there. And they started to have worship services with a hope that they could reach that neighborhood. The hope of sharing Christ. 7 years later, on Easter Sunday morning, they had 1,100 in their worship service. People coming to Christ. People getting off drugs. One of the best known prostitutes in town walked up, threw her book into baptistry, and said, "I'm done with that. I want to serve Jesus." Church, there is so much hope out there if we just take hold of it. As Tim talked about last week, and I was here to witness, a whole lot of people made a commitment to follow Christ, to let Christ lead. What could he do with this congregation? Brothers and sisters, that's the hope. Don't make that a one Sunday event. Make that a everyday of life event. To celebrate and hope Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Shall we sing? Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came up unto earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. I lift your name on high. I'm going to ask the ushers to come to share our tithes and offerings.